Welcome to the show, everybody. This week we're talking about live-action movie adaptations, ruining source material, whitewashing, and the most disrespectful film, The Last Airbender. This is the Party Up Podcast.
Transmission. Oh.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? And welcome to the Party Up Podcast. I'm, of course, your host, Eric Big Mosh. And with me, as always, Mr. John DiNadio. What's going on, my man?
What's going on, my dude?
Nothing much. Also with us, as always, Mr. Jordan Seven. What's going on, baby?
Hey, guys. You don't get a funny intro today because Derek chastised me as I was trying to provide for you.
Whatever. I'll take the blame. I don't care. Let's get the show fucking rolling, boys.
So grumpy today.
Yeah. You know what? It's a weird time for us to be doing the show. This week we had to do it a little earlier than normal.
The sun's out.
Yeah. Yeah. The sun is set.
Someone's birthday.
Yeah. Yeah. Happy birthday to our buddy Louie. I don't even know how old he is, but it's his birthday, and I promise I made a promise to see him for his birthday, and then unfortunately the plans fell through. And now I'm kind of making up for it, so you know that's what friends got to do. You know, friends got to be there for your birthday. So
we do.
You know, sometimes depends on who the friend is. But yeah, we are here on a brand new episode of the show, and okay. First off,
hold on. Wasn't last week great? Wasn't last week great?
Last week was fantastic. And for anyone that missed, please go back and listen to the Aang versus episode. Jordan, you did a fantastic job.
Thank you.
So we gave you all the praise in the world. It was a great, great episode. For anybody that's listening, stay in the loop with stuff, because if you miss an episode and you're on our social media, you'll get the updates, you'll get the information. So make sure you find us on Instagram at the Party Up Podcast. Make sure you find us on Twitter at Party Up Tweets. And of course, search for us on Facebook by typing in the Party Up Podcast. You can drop a like on our page or join our group. And if you already are part of that loop, then of course, then you would have seen the link for the show and listened to a fantastic episode, hilarious time. for Versus definitely was a great way to bring the series back in 2021. And, you know, the point of that was because we all really love Avatar, The Last Airbender, and Jordan, you've been wanting to bring Aang to the table for a long time. Every time, you know, we were talking about our favorite characters. So that was a perfect opportunity. And like I said, you did a fantastic job.
Now, thank you.
Of course. And then first off, you had said, you know, in the past, you said, you know, we should, since we always do movie reviews and, you know, B films and stuff like that, and typically they're, bad movies that we review and we have fun with and everything like that. You said, I really want to do The Last Airbender. And we're just like, okay, personally, I've never saw it. And I just kind of heard, you know, about the movie, but I never really gave it a shot because I was like, whatever, fuck it. Like, I never like live action shit to begin with, so I'll just stick with watching the series and enjoy that. Since we did Aang Versus, now collectively we all said, you know what, why don't we give it a shot? Jordan, you brought it to the table in the past. I think this is a good opportunity to use one of your ideas again for the show. Let's do it. Let's all sit down. Let's watch the film and let's really see what it was all about. Now, for those listening, we went into this well aware that this movie had shit reviews. Mm-hmm. Like, we went into this knowing that this was going to be a bad movie. To the point where I had actually posted in our group on Facebook, who here has seen The Last Airbender? And someone gave it the Jason X treatment and said, it's so weird that you guys just posted a weird white blank space because that's all I see here. There's nothing on your post.
Yes.
And I'm just like, okay. Another friend to the show said that they've watched the show, but they avoid anything that comes from M. Night. So yeah. Already I'm like, okay, this is going to be a rough ride. Somebody goes, you mean the animated show? Because I don't know anything called The Last Airbender.
That was really funny, actually. I saw that one.
Yeah.
When we do movie night with the group here and we do our reviews, they're usually, like you said, they're usually like bad B movies, and we know that they're going to be bad B movies.
Yes.
This was a movie made by like a real studio. And we also knew it was going to be bad, but holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I hated every second of the hour and a half.
Okay. Yeah. So in a big way going into this, and as much as I love Avatar myself, I have not seen this in its entirety. Mm. I knew things of it. The community obviously has had a lot to say about it. If you take it outside of the universe of being a fan of Avatar, it is actually listed within Wikipedia and many other articles in the world. When you look up some of the top movies that have ever existed, this movie comes up very prominently in a big way. So even people who are not Avatar fans, it was still just a horrid experience. And M. Night is a very avoidable director. He's very he's known, you know, very infamously for his pomposity in a lot of the things that he already has done in the
word.
Past and everything.
Great
and
word.
Aside from And aside Sorry. From the sixth, no, it's okay. I was just like, does he mean that?
No, I truly do. That's like the smartest thing you said on the entirety of the show. But continue. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to wreck your role here. Keep going.
It's good to know I've peaked.
So far.
Yeah.
So far. Yes, absolutely. I could come up with anything. Yeah, M. Night is just a fucking absolute, like, he feet, like, with his fucking, like, his style of, oh, there was a twist at the end, and it's unanimously
what a twist
his work. What a twist. It's unanimously felt about his work that ever since The Sixth Sense, he has pretty much been tanking. That's what
I know a lot of people that enjoy, like, his, like they enjoy Signs, or, like, I actually was a big fan of Lady in the Water. Like, it was a weird movie, but I really enjoyed it for its, like, you know, fableist type of, you know, taking something that kind of already exists and making it his own story. I think he did a pretty decent job with that, but
but the difference is that movie was supposed to do that.
Yeah, right, exactly. As far as I'm concerned, M. Night Shyamalan made one movie and it was best, and that was it. After everything else, it was just like him just goofing off, I guess. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. Like you said, like Lady in the Water, he took something that existed and put his own twist on it. That's appropriate because, you know, it's just a random lore that you can kind of run there. He did it well there. This time around, he took something that already exists and just produced a complete fucking dumpster fire of a film. Okay. Yeah. So here's my whole thing. I agree with you guys, and I'm pretty sure anybody that's listening is going to agree that after Sixth Sense and maybe another film here or there, depending on who you are, there really isn't a lot of good work coming from him. There's just so much. Like,
I feel like there's so much to talk about and also nothing to talk about, because this movie is like a twist and turn of like just crazy amounts of horseshit, as far as I'm concerned. But like, it just keeps going, and it's so bad.
Here's the thing. It's hard to pick this movie apart because it's so bad, not just because of M. Night's terrible decision making, because he wrote, produced, and directed this film. He did everything.
He did all of it.
Mm-hmm. So it's weird because I can sit here and absolutely blame him on all of it, why it was so terrible, everything. But it's not like we don't see this type of shit happen all the time when it comes to live action films being derived from animated original content. This isn't the first time we're seeing this. So it's like, yes, I want to put the blame on him for all these terrible decisions. But at the same time, a lot of other people in Hollywood have done this. So I want to try to do my best to not really just like harp on the movie and the lack thereof of story and everything else, because if you've seen the film, then you know what's going on. But there's so much more in this movie. It sets such an example for so many other points. So I really kind of want to try to focus on that.
Before you start, you know what I want to say before, like, because I was just like looking into some of the background of like the people who played these characters,
right?
And I have to say, other than the kid who played Ong,
God damn you.
Other than the kid who played Aang, everyone else, all the other kids, like, who played Katara and who played Sokka and who played...
Sokka.
Sokka. Sokka. They all kind of went on to have, like, okay careers. Like, they're not, like... Which I guess is good in a way, but, like, this poor movie could have completely killed, like, all of their
careers. 100%.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know the reason particularly, but it is unanimously known about this movie that shortly after it was done and everything, that kid didn't do anything else. Like, that was it.
He
like
was
that,
in the Wii version of the video game because he was still in the contract, probably.
Probably, yeah. Something like that.
And he was in Cowboys and Aliens in 2011, so just the year after.
Right.
Right.
Well, that was it. And then he disappeared forever.
Yeah. And another big thing that's known about all of the actors as a whole is also the fact that they're very quiet about the fact that this movie was so unanimously horseshit. But it's also a thing of like, so the guy who played Zuko, which he was the most vocal about this, and a lot of like Avatar fans who kept up with this story and everything know that like after the movie was made and after it got panned so hardcore, he very much was like, you know, this was a very upsetting experience for him. He had said that it was like watching another person up there, you know, doing something that looked like him, but he was so like ashamed of this. Like, there was no pride put in any of this work that he was like, it's very difficult for me to see a character that I don't believe in and that I don't really agree with even on screen. So that tells you everything you need to know. But the rest of the characters pretty much didn't really say anything aside from M. Night, who thinks he's a genius.
Right. Well, that dude that played Zuko, I forgot the actor's name, but it doesn't really fucking matter.
Something Patel.
Yeah, whatever. He came off of Slumdog Millionaire before doing Last Airbender. So he's coming off like Oscar worthy. Yeah. Film like big time, right. Real fucking movie type deal, and then he goes and does that. I am not surprised that he's sitting there and just like, yeah, I've this was a terrible fucking experience, because he went from dealing with a professional like like legit fucking movie setup to that.
The thing is that like that could have killed his career too, just coming out like that. You know what I mean? Like, he really. I mean, like, thank you know, for him, thank goodness it didn't come to that.
Right.
But he should have. I mean, that could be dangerous for someone, you know, like coming out and saying like, this is truly a terrible movie that I was in, and I'm sorry.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm glad that somebody fucking said something at the time, because let's be honest, like, you know, Jordan, you had shared with us a clip of an interview that M. Night did where he got asked about, you know, everyone in a, cause I think it was a British, interview. He sat there and he got asked, you know, oh, well, you know, how do you feel about, America's reaction to the film? And he sat there and was like, oh, you know, it's really tough to go from America where they tell you that you're doing a terrible job to going to Japan where they think that you're a genius and haha. And I sat there and I was like, what?
Yeah. He essentially believed it was a regional fucking situation, that everybody in America hates me, but people all over the comment section who are like, hey, from Europe, yeah, he sucks a dick. you're from China. Yeah, we don't fucking like him either.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so goddamn funny to see him get knocked down a peg. He's such a fucking asshole for that.
I have never seen someone so disconnected with like criticism in the world ever in my life. Like, to sit there and be like, oh, well, you know, America, haha, I guess they just don't get my artistic sense. Japan loves me. And I'm just like, I was like, first off, which comes to my first point that I want to make in our general discussion here, is we're dealing with, this isn't some fucking fairy tale lore. This isn't something that, you know, was some type of like internet, like random rumor or like phenomenon. This is a series that was created, produced, had an amazing fan base, had an amazing series of episodes, a fantastic story. It had its original content that was picked up and viewed, and everyone loved it. I rarely or barely see or hear anyone that says that they didn't enjoy Avatar: The Last Airbender, the series. Like, this dude took this original content and took the most ridiculous artistic liberties ever that I've ever seen. And first off, for anyone to take original stuff and go ahead and do that, how many times are we gonna fucking suffer through this as fans of anything? This is anything. We see it a multitude of times throughout fucking Hollywood and these films that they try to translate from original content. How can you sit there and take any liberties with stuff that is written for you? It's written for you.
I only picture the meme of the two guys getting ready to be hanged, and he's like, first time. But I just picture George's face just going, first
time. Yeah, dude, it's just like, it happens so goddamn often. It's just like, does nobody learn from the past mistakes of films that crashed and burned? Like, granted, listen, this film came out years ago. Oh, God, yes, that too. Like, it's, I don't understand how they don't sit there and be like, all right, listen, don't get me wrong. We see it happen the right way sometimes, but we see it done wrong too many times. And at this point, it's just like, come on, like, get your head out of your fucking ass. And here's the thing, my whole thing with that point is, how can you take something that was so beautiful in its original form and completely ruin it in another medium? My answer to that, honestly, especially after seeing his fucking response, it's fucking ego. That's really what it is. It's fucking ego.
Yeah. This is a thing that people have talked about with M. Night in a big way.
It's fucking crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. Nickelodeon Studios and M. Night, like you had told us, Jordan, spearheaded this project, and they put all, like, I they had no nothing. The creators had no involvement in this film, and it's quite apparent, and it's clear as day that they had no involvement, because this was all supposed to be book one, and it was just a fucking smashing of events into each other. Nothing made sense. Everything that he decided to do for this film was complete and utter fucking bullshit. From the way the story went to the fucking casting, which that goes to my other point. I don't know if you guys want to talk about any more about him taking anything from original content or that point at all. Do you guys want to mention anything about that?
Yeah. Because, so here's the thing. I remember when I was younger and this movie first came out, and I was already super into Avatar as it is. And then, like, I was watching this, like, on TV interview with him where he was, like, he was talking about, like, what he was going to do for the movie and everything like that. And he's like, I'm going to take from natural. That's another thing he said in that fucking, that pompous fucking interview where he was like, oh, I'm a very cultured man, and that's starting to show within my movies and everything. How he basically took a lot of the names of the characters and places and stuff like that, and he said, this is how you say it in this original folklore, whatever. So Aang is now Ung, and Avatar is now Avatar, and Uncle Iroh is now Uncle Iroh, and Sokka is now Sokka, and M. Night is a fucking asshole. Like, I cannot understand conceptually why you seem to think kids This is a movie spearheaded by you and Nickelodeon Studios. So who do you think your fucking demographic is going to be, you dumb shit?
Yeah.
Like, they don't give a fuck about that. I understand maybe us older people could have appreciated that if it was done differently. If it wasn't so many names that were taken and, like, butchered in such a massive way. But, like, I could have appreciated him mixing more of the cartoon's lore in with, like, actual, like, traditional Japanese, like, fighting and kung fu and different, like, fight styles and stuff like that. But if it meshed better together with original stuff that was from the cartoon, then it would have been something that could have been appreciated further.
Right.
Unfortunately, he took so many artistic liberties and shit like that that he believed were, you know, was like a more respectful kind of way of honoring these cultures. But here's the thing about that
cartoon.
Bro.
Right.
You can do that. But number one, yes, it's also a cartoon. Absolutely. That's like the biggest part of it.
Right.
And number two, you're gonna honor the cultures. And then Katara and Sokka is going to be fucking Emma and Chris. Those are the whitest kids you fucking got.
Yeah.
We made that joke while watching together. We made that joke while watching together just for audience sake, and it stuck. Like, you cannot
you
see,
cannot see that.
Anything other than Emma and Chris. Yes. They're not Katara.
When you watch the movie and then you give them white people names, like Caucasian names is the correct way to say that. When you watch the movie and you give them Caucasian names, You can't see it any other
you
way.
You
cannot see it. Absolutely right. Yeah, and we stopped. We were like, write that down. Because
the worst
so
part was is that they're surrounded by like Inuits. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's crazy. It's unbelievable. I don't even know what was going through.
In like the with the water tribe and everything, they looked like actual Inuits.
Yeah,
and like that, like you would see in that type of setting, in a cultural setting, which I think he did a fine job with that, showcasing another culture there. But then to do that, and then get Sokka and Katara to be some of the the palest fucking absolute kids in the world. Yeah. And then Gran was literally, what did you call her? John called her Mother Gertrude, I believe it was.
Aunt Gertrude.
That was so fucking Aunt Gertrude. It was so fucking funny.
Yeah.
But it's further than that too, because it wasn't even just like, this wasn't like they got their skin color wrong, but the characters were great. No, they fucking sucked.
They were terrible.
Sokka was trying to be some kind of fucking Jason Statham looking motherfucker.
He was trying to be Batman.
Exactly. It was fucking stupid. He was like, you're my sister and I would protect you at all costs because that is what I do as your older bro. It's like, bro, this isn't, you have proven you've never seen the cartoon.
Right. Yes, exactly. That's exactly what he proved. He proved he never watched it.
Yeah, he never watched it.
He proved in that moment he never saw the cartoon. Oh, also, did you guys notice Momo was never called Momo once in the show?
No, they never called him.
Never.
Momo.
Someone fucking, I was reading some, I was looking up some more videos and like, I looked up, they did like fan interviews at like a release party at like this one theater. And everyone who went to see the movie was like, this was the worst thing I've ever seen. they didn't say Momo once. There was a girl who came in the theater in a full up Avatar Kyoshi fucking cosplay that was done up great, and halfway through the movie she left and took it off, and they interviewed some person that she was with or something, and they were like, yeah, she took her costume. She wasn't even in the fucking movie, and it wasn't even a part of, you know, it was fucking stupid. And then I read something about that too, that M. Night actually said that he did not include the Kyoshi Warriors or Avatar Kyoshi in the fucking movie in the first place because she was one of his favorite characters and she was such a big presence that they would have stolen the show. But from the rest of the movie, it doesn't seem like you know anything about them anyway. So what are you talking about?
What doesn't
dude?
Make sense about that too, on top of all that nonsense, is that in the movie that the statue from that town of a previous Avatar is shown.
They show Avatar Kyoshi. They went to Kyoshi Island in the montage, which, by the way, this movie's one big fucking montage because it's the entirety of book one.
Yeah.
They don't even show a lot of action-y fight scenes or anything.
No,
there's a scene later on in the movie where fucking Admiral Zhao is talking to Aang after they capture him. And he's like, oh, I heard you did very well in liberating those villages.
it would have been nice to show us liberating the villages. That would have made an interesting move.
Yeah, it would have made the movie so much fun. Dude, I really don't understand. You guys brought up a great point where it's obvious he didn't see the source material. And besides ego, I definitely think that's a part of it. They get these fucking big name fucking pompous dickheads that have done possibly great work in the past. I'm pretty sure they have done work in the past that was good. But, I mean, come on. That doesn't mean they're right for the job. They're not, you know what I'm saying? Like, that just because they have a fucking award or two because they did something else doesn't mean they're right for the fucking job then and there.
Like, okay, like for example, like Stanley Kubrick is a great director, right?
Mm-hmm.
But give Stanley Kubrick something like Batman and he might not know what to fucking do. That's crazy.
He might mess that up,
You know, like give him like same thing, like give him Avatar and he'd be like, I don't know what to do. I don't even know what this is. Like, what are you talking about?
But that's okay
like,
if he had
and unlike where Kubrick would have been like, I don't know what this is. I don't want it. Like M. Night Shyamalan was like, I'll do it. I'm great.
Yeah, fuck that, bro. It's ego. It's ignorance. There's so much that goes into ruining source content that it's mind blowing.
Yeah, James Cameron would have done the same thing.
Right.
He absolutely would.
It's all ego.
It's funny you bring that up, too. I don't know if I've ever said this on the show before, but James Cameron, like, to me, is my most hated director is because of the Avengers thing. I know you guys are most likely aware of this, but, like, for people who aren't, so James Cameron, when Avengers Endgame was coming out and, you know, like, all of the country and a lot of the world really was, you know, so excited to see like what's going to happen with these superheroes and blah, blah, blah. And we're so like everybody was very invested in, you know, the Avengers as a whole. And, you know, James Cameron, he comes out and he just starts talking a bunch of shit, talking about, oh, my goodness, everybody's going to get fucking Avengers fatigue and I can't wait and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, motherfucker. But you know what they're doing? They're making shit. They're not telling us in the news about, oh, Avatar 2 and Avatar 3 and Avatar 4. I have the next 7 Avatar movies fucking planned out in my head. We'll put them on paper, dumb fuck. Like, he talks so much. There's other pompous shit I know he's done, but that recent one, like, just reading what he says and shit and talking about Avengers fatigue. Like, yeah, I know Marvel will not exactly have everybody's attention forever.
Right.
But right now, like in that moment, they were in their heyday and doing well and everyone's really invested. And he's sitting back like a bitter piece of shit. And I'm like, hey, why don't you fucking make something? Like, and then because then the whole world was like, he's just bitter because he had the number one movie and now it's gone because Avengers is now the number one movie and Avatar is now in the number two spot. So like, he was such a dick about it. And I'm just like, could have been a humble director about it. But
the problem with I don't want to get too much into it because it's, you know, it's about like, you know, it's just an ego project thing for them. Like they had the most and now they don't. You know what I mean? Like,
No, that's definitely one of the biggest factors, man. I can see is definitely ego. Like I said, ignorance, and the ignorance thing is really the thing that bothers me the most, because that not only ruins the source material, but like you guys have already brought up, and my second point was the casting. Like, dude, like how do you have Chris and Emma play these characters? Like it was the worst decision making. Like at a point, like I said, I don't necessarily mind the casting for Aang because, you know, I'm sure there's someone out there that would have done looked better in the part. I'm pretty sure there would have been. But from the animated series to what I saw in that particular character, I accepted it. I was like, okay. But everyone else, like, come on, man. Like, come on, dude.
You know what? He couldn't even be bothered to find, like, at least, like, if you wanted to make it white kids, like, you couldn't even find one with a tan. You know what I mean? Like,
he couldn't find an Italian to play fucking soccer.
Yeah, like you got like the whitest Irish kids to play, you know, Inuits.
Exactly. And it's funny because it's funny too, because like I think through the whole thing we were bitching about casting so much. Yeah, it was whitewashed crap, and that was a big complaint from everybody about the movie.
Yeah.
But overall, I think watching the whole thing, we liked maybe Aang and Princess Yue. And that was the only casting we were actually like,
I felt that she was an appropriate casting for that. I mean, Sokka and fucking Katara aside, like, dude, Iroh? Are we fucking joking? Are we kidding? Fuck you. dude, like, oh my God. Like, it just, it's so infuriating because in the film, too, we, again, mentioned it already, like, they're background characters that are casted better than half of the main characters. And it's like, how do you have your head that far up your own ass that you don't realize how stupid this looks?
And I wanted to say, too, going a little bit back to the whole directing, you know, ranting about directors and things like that. Mm-hmm. This is all a thing that also can be... you know, rectified in a small way, not like in the movie, but after the fact. Because, and I remember we said this when we were watching the movie, you know, if you guys don't know, the live action, you know, Dragon Ball Z movie, the Dragon Ball Evolution, that was equally a piece of garbage. The director, and his name escapes me, but the director came out like a few years later and at least admittedly said, you know, we do apologize to, they apologize to fans, and they said, we did this for a check. It's what we did. It happened. We can pretend it didn't happen or just avoid it now moving forward. Right. And that was a little bit respectable when I read that and I saw that. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
It's better than saying I made a fucking masterpiece and Americans are stupid. That's because that's pretty what pretty much what M. Night did.
Dude, he made him up for money.
He could never admit that shit. I could never see him.
He's artistic and cultured.
Oh yeah. He's a genius. Remember, the Japanese called him a genius.
Yeah, right. Apparently. Listen, my whole thing is, again, not just the source material thing, but the casting thing, and you brought up the term, whitewashing. Why? Why is that a thing? Why is it so hard for Hollywood to just cast the proper races? Like, what? You don't think there's a fucking Asian dude out there that's an actor? Like, come on. Right.
It stems from old Hollywood. It stems from...
So stupid, bro. It's so dumb. It ruins everything.
I'm gonna get a little tickle right now. But I'll say honestly, I know exactly the reason. And John just said it. Honestly, why is everything in the stock market happening the way it's happening right now? Why are these fucking I'm being dead ass.
No,
I'm trying to be a meme or anything.
No.
Why are these
fucking,
these fucking old head stock exchange motherfuckers have been doing for years. Mm-hmm. And now these, you know, these young guns are fucking coming in. These fucking kids from Reddit and all this other shit. They're coming in and doing the same thing to them. And now they're getting fucking pissed about it and shutting down and not letting people do things.
Yeah.
It's because old people are the fucking worst. It's because people who have been in their industry for such a long time need to understand three words, and they're all the same thing. Retirement, retirement, retirement. And we don't have that. From bigwigs in Hollywood to fucking old, you know, Caucasian dudes who have union jobs who refuse to give up their spot for other people in America.
Right.
They just refuse. When you get a little power in this world, when you get a little fucking something in this world,
God forbid they let it go.
God forbid you give it the fuck up and let another generation take over and bring some new ideas to the table. Right. So that's why this shit is happening. Because M. Night, he's not like a super old dude either, but he adopts that old dude Hollywood mentality fully and completely. Well,
because he wants in.
There are people giving him money. And so
the old dudes are giving him money. So absolutely. Agree. Right.
Exactly. And that shit goes against, it goes above integrity. It goes above fucking everything for these stupid fucking motherfuckers who need to leave already.
You can't make a whole movie with people of different races and not have white people.
Yeah.
Well, it also goes into things of name as well, which I don't agree with either, because like the whole big controversy with Scarlett Johansson and Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, fuck. Like, I was just going to say that. See.
Yeah.
I was going to say four words come to mind during this whole conversation. Ghost in the Shell.
And it's fucking ridiculous because, in honesty, it is interesting how that was a lot of people's clapback to that response. They were like, you could get Lucy Liu. You can get any fucking Asian American actress or even Asian actress in a general sense.
Yeah.
She would have killed it because she's good at shit like that. But at the same time, and she fit the genre and everything. It was like actiony and she could have done fucking flawlessly.
Stellar.
But of course,
she would have been great.
Let's fucking stick, you know, Black Widow in there so more people see
it. She ain't hot right now. That's the thing.
More people do fucking hate it. Like,
right.
You don't have to do that is the thing. You can get, like, non-A-list actors to still succeed in things.
Here's the thing. Ever since the days of film, when they started, it always was just, like, a few stars.
Yeah.
Now they have a lot, but they go with who's hot at the moment. It doesn't matter what role they put them in. As long as they throw enough money, a person will do it.
Right.
It
right.
really comes down to the actors just saying, no, why don't you get like a Chinese person to do that?
Right. Well, I mean, of course, they're no different half the time. Yeah. They want a fucking paycheck, too, which I get. They're not going to say no. But listen, here's the whole thing, though. It's like you have these fucking people put together these films again with strong source material, but they have no faith in the source material, which makes zero fucking sense because the reason a movie was pitched in the first place is because the source material is so popular. Have faith in it. They have zero faith in it.
Right.
Can I bring up a very good example that I just read about last night, actually? And the comments, man, the comment section made me fucking die on the floor. So in the supposed Borderlands movie that is being made, Kevin Hart has just been cast as one of the characters.
Yeah.
The comments section, one of my favorite comments was, I wonder who The Rock is going to play in this movie. They know. Yeah. We know. Everybody knows. They all know. Because they get the same five motherfuckers to do things.
Well, the worst part is
ridiculous.
Is that the brawler character is perfect for The Rock, and that's upsetting.
It is.
Because they could have casted him first, and then be like, we don't need Kevin. We could have found a taller, you know,
or someone that fits the persona better.
Yeah.
Avatar is just an example of shit that we see all the fucking time. And it's like, when is it going to fucking stop?
When we stop going.
That really needs to be the fucking, like, listen, I'm going to take Jordan's example here. If the stock market situation right now hasn't taught us anything, it's that we are strong in numbers, okay, as average fucking people. And when we stop fucking just throwing whatever Hollywood gives us down our fucking throats.
We're the problem. Maybe,
I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. But on the same token, we also have to realize that half the times we get tricked. We put faith too much in these directors, producers, writers, people that involve themselves in these projects that come from source material. We put faith in them to give us something we want. And then it's a double-edged sword, really, as a fucking consumer, as a fan.
That's our fault for doing that. They fuck it up every time. And every time we go, maybe they'll do better this time.
Right.
So when does it stop? When does this loop stop?
Right. I think the answer to that question really falls on the creators of the source material.
Right. But we have to make a stink first. We got to be like, yo, we're tired of this shit. Like, stop fucking up the stuff we love, or we're just not going to watch it.
Right. Right. Which I think we've done a few times. I mean, listen, if Sonic isn't a big example of that, then I don't know what else to tell you. The internet literally took that movie and bullied the production company into making a better version of it.
Character design. It's not like they had to reshoot the whole movie.
Right, but still, granted.
A kid movie.
Okay, listen. That movie was good for what it was, even though you want to be old man here. But
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Listen, but that's an example, though. That you know what I'm saying? Granted, how you feel about the film, that's an example of the people going, this is going to be trash. Don't give us this because you're not going to see a dollar from it. Give us something we deserve as that's fans what of whatever the source material is. And that's what the studio did. They redesigned and gave us what we wanted visually. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, not for nothing, I still, if it, listen, a lot of these adaptations I haven't fucking seen yet. I have not seen Ghost in the Shell.
I have not
seen Dragon Ball Evolution in its entirety. If it was not for the show, I would not have sat down and watched Avatar. But because we watch bad movies, I brought it to the table. But if I were not on the Party of Podcast, I never would have seen The Last Airbender, and that's a fact.
You know what? Now I blame this podcast for making me watch that.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But it does go with what John said. If we all adopted that mentality, then we'd be able to be like, you know what? Let's cut this shit out. And like, maybe they'll actually cut it out. Right. You know what I mean?
Well, here's the whole thing. Here's the whole thing. We sat here, right? And we obviously, we all love the series. We did a fun episode with Aang and the Versus. And we said, why don't we give it a shot? The movie has been, you know, it's been years ago that it's been made. You know, yep. We sat here and said, maybe it's bad to the point where we can use it as like something good, like we normally
maybe
do.
Maybe it's like wine, you know. Maybe it gets better with age, right? Like,
yeah, maybe we can sit back and make fun of the movie because it was done all those years ago, and whatever the case may be. But it was just such an infuriating experience because there's no way that film can even it's not even funny. It's not even funny, the bullshit that they put on screen with that.
Yeah. No, I hated every second of that entire thing.
Every moment of that film was completely eye-rolling. Now, we talk about ruining source material. We talk about whitewashing and casting decisions that make zero sense. Another thing that we see a lot in other films, and not just in The Last Airbender, which is this movie is 100% guilty of, and Jorn, you brought it up a lot, and it was a big point of your frustration, is the fact that you are dealing with, again, source material that has a lot of it's going to need CGI work if you're going to translate it to film. I don't understand why companies just the production companies don't deliver on that end. You know, or maybe you don't. Maybe that's the problem. Again, maybe these companies don't look at the source material like dickhead M. Night. Maybe they just don't know and they don't care. But I don't know what it is. How do you not visually want the film to look good? You said, Jordan, I believe you said that you took film in the past, correct? Okay. Yeah. And okay. As someone who has done that, you're sitting there and you're going, these are freshman techniques.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because that's a really good point as of right now, as far as the effects and the things that you do for your movie. And John said it too, absolutely. It doesn't take like being in film or anything to know when someone actually uses something that is, oh, say, a filter, like a color filter, right. And when somebody actually utilizes their lighting. If everybody who knows Avatar out there, at the end of book one, when they're in the water tribe and they're at the spirit oasis, and Zhao kills the fucking moon spirit, and then the whole world turns red, it was very upsetting to see that. Like, I couldn't even laugh at it. I did laugh at it, but like, it was so bad. They did not, in order to emulate the turning of the red after this fucking horrible Zhao in this movie killed this moon spirit, they, instead of utilizing a red filter over the entirety of the movie and the visuals, you could tell that they swapped out the lighting that they were using, because there's always like lighting in different areas that you can't see in a movie, so that you're able to see things you wouldn't normally. They swapped it out for red light bulbs.
It's, you know,
and
what it is?
It looks like the whole set is covered in red light bulbs.
Yeah.
No, you know what it is? The problem is that they only took one lamp and made it a red lamp, because the rest of the scene is lit in white.
Yeah.
And there's just like this red light coming out of nowhere. Like, it's like, oh, this is how the moonlight works. It's just one ray of red. It's like, no, you fucking twats.
You should have taken the entire, in the same way that, and I understand, Avatar's a cartoon. It's hard to translate and transition from a cartoon where an entire world becomes engulfed in one color to doing that in
That's a post-edit special effect.
But it's very much a post-edit.
You don't even have to have lights.
You don't.
Yeah,
you don't.
That was the thing that
you
did
film
on the set.
Regular, and then you use fucking special effects to go black and white, and then flood red.
Intern knew that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the intern at that movie probably knew how to do that on the computer, and he could have been like, you know, I could just put a red filter over it. And they're like, nah, fuck it. We'll just shoot it with a red light.
Literally, it's like, you know, they have this red filter on Snapchat that any idiot 16-year-old can fucking do, and you're telling me right now you're not going to do that? Like, seriously? Like, that's the thing that gets me the most in movies now. If it's a thing that I see in a fucking movie that can be done with a fucking Snapchat filter, you better go above and beyond. Because right. We have technology at the palm in the palm of our hands that we are getting closer and closer to shooting movie-level shit with our cellular devices.
Listen, iPhones can do that now.
there are filmed fully on iPhones.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. Yes, there's fan films and regular films in a general sense. And right. This, I wanted to bring
TikTok
up this too.
And...
Shut up, you fucking...
I mean, there are white girls on there getting famous for no fucking reason.
He's such a...
Oh, man. I can't wait for the listeners to understand that part of the conversation.
It just solidifies the fact that John is truly a brother.
I love you. You know I love you.
Really. I love you, too. But shut your fucking face. No. I wanted to say this, too, because this is another thing that came up a lot when, like, you know, when Tom Holland's Spider-Man, like, started getting big and, like, around the second movie and everything. A lot of people, like, started coming up and saying, it goes back to Derek's point with, like, CG and everything like that. I know I've told you guys this before. I don't know if I said it on the show, though. A lot of people are starting to get into this complaint now of, like, oh, Marvel overuses CG and blah, blah, blah. Yes.
Yeah.
That's why they're winning, dumb fuck. Because with CG, I get to see shit that I can't fucking see in real life.
Yeah.
You understand that's how CG works, right? Also, you're like a 17-year-old who works in a Starbucks. Your opinion on Marvel's use of CG does not really matter.
Here's the thing.
You work at Kohl's.
Russian calls. That's where M.I. Shyamalan should be working.
Right. Yeah.
He should be working at Kohl's.
Here's the thing also, like, and we're talking about whatever, but there was, I mean, okay, the last Airbender was filmed in what? 2010, right?
2011, I think.
2011?
I don't know, whatever, around that time. Yeah, whatever.
All right. Let's say 2010, 2011, right?
Yeah.
Now, the things that they can do with computers, right? So, like, The Losers came out that year, right? Like, the DiCaprio Shutter Island came out that year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a ton of movies. Gulliver's Travels came out. That shitty Jack Black movie came out where they made
a Jack
giant...
Black was
a
Gulliver's Travels.
Yeah, exactly. Like, people know how to use computers. Like, Gulliver's Travels might have been shitty, but at least it, like, looked okay. I mean, Black Swan won that year, right? Like, Black Swan looked awesome.
Yeah.
Like, that was a real movie. Mm. Like, this looks like it was, like, they took the technology that they just had, like, laying around Nickelodeon Studios from, like, 1990 and were just using their computers and shit. Like, it looks so bad. Like, the effects are terrible. Like, the water whips are bad. Like, all of the shit that made Avatar, like, really cool to watch, like, they could have done a better job, and they just didn't give a shit.
Yeah, no one gave a fuck,
and they just
man.
Sent M. Night Shyamalan out there to be like, hey, look at the shit I can do.
Look at this,
like,
artsy
Inception
shit.
Came out that year.
Yeah.
It's because they used the same computers they used to edit all that.
Yeah. Alice in Wonderland came out that year. That's all computer, basically.
Yeah.
It was all computer,
100%.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that did come out that year, and that was way better than this.
Yeah.
What the fuck, Shyamalan?
Hot Tub Time Machine came out that year.
Just say it was a cash grab. Just say that you are going to do this for the sake of the fact that you know it's going to make you money. Right. I really think that's what it comes down to. Like, listen, I don't know how people in the Hollywood industry get paid or what percentage goes to what. I don't know if maybe the special effects budget is less than someone else gets more, but that's what it seems like to me. It seems like money is the deciding factor when it comes to half of these terrible fucking decisions. And what they don't understand is, like, they go for this one shot deal. They go for this, let's have the box office weekend blow up, and who gives a fuck after that? And it's like, yeah, that may benefit you that one time, but there's like films out there that have been done it right, and people continuously buy into that, and you know what I'm saying, and view those movies and enjoy those movies. So yeah. It's like, just do it right, and your investment's gonna be way more than just a one shot fucking deal over a weekend. Like, I don't understand the mindset here. I definitely know that money is an influence, and it just, oh my god, dude, it just doesn't make any fucking, it just doesn't make any fucking sense to me. It just, it doesn't. How someone can take something like the Avatar series that was beloved and everyone enjoyed it and everything like that, and then give us this fucking piece of shit? Like, come on. Like, come on. But
that's
on,
also
dude.
Another thing that, like, makes this episode, like, difficult for us. Cause, like John said earlier when we would start it, when we got into, like, the meat and potatoes of this shit, it's like, not for nothing, but it's easy for us to rag on this, but it's very difficult also because we're not saying anything that nobody doesn't already really know. You know what
right.
I mean? Like,
right.
A lot of the things that are being said, like, we're trying to bring, you know, we're bringing up the conversations that the cast have had and, like, bringing yeah. up like interview stuff.
Right. This was just our first experience with it as like a
yeah. You know, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, exactly. And, but for the most part, it's like, yeah, we're not going to get a lot of people who disagree with this episode, which I think is really
interesting. I'd love to find
like,
someone that does, because I'd love to hear their explanation.
Somebody who likes this, we won't actually attack you at first.
No.
But please let us know.
Yeah.
No, we wouldn't
like, this
attack
you. This doesn't even make like a good, like low blow. Blows the shit out of this movie. You know what I mean? Like, Loblo is fucking
Loblo blows the shit out of the Titanic, so don't you ever disrespect Loblo again.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm saying, like, something right. that had, like, literally right. no budget.
Right.
Something that had, like, all the budget. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
it wasn't fun B-movie. We said that when we sat down a lot. We're like, this is not going to be a, it's so bad we are having fun. It's going to be a so bad
no,
word.
This is bad that we are miserable. Like, right. Spookies was better.
Oh,
you
God.
Said that.
That's
you said
a
that at
big,
one point.
Yeah, yeah, that's yeah. The one episode out of six seasons that we did a movie review that I didn't even edit or post because the conversation
no,
was just there was none. There was zero. The movie was shit.
We had nothing to
nothing.
Say. It was
the
so
only
shit.
honestly the only reason
and it was better than The Last Airbender.
Yeah, no, it was the only reason why we're be able to have a conversation. Here about The Last Airbender isn't even necessarily because of the movie itself, but because of the, like I said, the constant things that we saw in that movie that are also done in other films. Every time, like John said, video game films, we've seen it in source material films from comics and graphic novels. We've seen it so many times, and this just falls into that. I don't understand, honestly, how somebody that creates a series that becomes popular or whatever, creates whatever, and there's a huge fan base, and it's loved, and everyone is excited to see something on the big screen. I don't understand how these directors, M. Night, these production companies can just be so fucking disrespectful to the fan base. That's really, it's really like a big slap in the fucking face. Like, think about it. Like, you're going to sit here and take something that was fantastic in one medium and then deliver us complete shit because you want to make yeah. a buck? That is the biggest fucking spit in my face, honestly. Just you might as well, Hollywood just might as well just go ahead and piss on my shoes at this point. It's ridiculous.
Can I tell you guys my most hated part of this movie? And I was proud of myself because I've never seen this in its entirety, but I called the ending. I said in the middle
yep.
of this movie, I said,
yep.
I wonder if they're going to end this movie the same way they ended book one in the cartoon, where Ozai is talking to Azula and tells her, I have a job for you, and then ends the movie there. I was wondering if he was right. actually going to do that, because if he adopted that ending, then this motherfucker actually believed he was going to get sequels out of this shit. And lo and behold, the movie ends, very anticlimactic, which we'll get into in a second, but the movie ends, and it's Ozai and Azula in front of a fucking mirror, and I screamed. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I cannot believe this motherfucker had the nerve to actually think
he was getting another movie. Yeah.
That after the entire time he took so little from the source material, like we've been saying.
You're right.
And how he literally did not do any of the things that everyone loved so dearly about Avatar, from the bending itself that was atrocious and overly ridiculous, which is what every person who reviewed this movie said about it, right. And he had the nerve to actually push for a fucking, to make that push for the sequel. I would have respected him just a tiny bit more if he left the Azula part out. I could not fucking believe he did that motherfucker.
You know that the actual ending to this movie, the climax of this movie, is so underwhelming that I cannot recall. I am trying so hard to remember what happened.
Can I bring it up? Because I fucking, oh God, it made me laugh so hard. So in the cartoon, as we all know, at the end of book one, spoilers if you haven't, you know, if you're still new to Avatar, but Aang is, he's defending the water tribe, and you know, there's the big fight between the waterbenders and Aang becomes a, you know, he like comes up with the moon spirit and everything, and together he unleashes a giant waterbending spirit that destroys the Fire Nation, and then they all, you know, either the ones that are there fighting get fucking killed or whatever, right. And then the ones in the ships, they fall back, and then the day is won. In the last Airbender, Aang, as the fight is going on between the firebenders and the waterbenders, he goes into the Avatar state and creates a big wave, and the firebenders get scared and they leave. There is no fight. There is essentially, Aang doesn't do shit. He really doesn't do any fighting as far as that goes, but he just creates a giant wave of water, separating the water tribe from the Fire Nation ships, and they leave.
My brain hurts so much after watching this.
Do you not
game.
Remember, like, when that shit happens, like, that's not all he's gonna do, is it? John and I, like, we actually kept a tab. We were like, yo, what do you think is gonna happen? Do you think he's gonna go full on, like, do you think they're gonna show the spirit and everything come up and he's gonna attack it? No. And we both kind of called it in a way. We thought it was going to be very anticlimactic. Yeah. He was just going to do some water bending, and everybody, all the bad guys, were just going to scurry away. And that's what they did. And it was fucking horrific.
M. Night took the original source material and said, I can do it better. And showed us and the world that, no, sir, you could not. Like, it comes down to I don't know, like, it's just ego. Like, ego. How do you sit there and say that your individual brain is going to produce something that already exists and is beloved? You're going to take that and rewrite it to make it better. That's not how it fucking works. If you, like, every character, every word, every action, every scene, every decision was made with him thinking that he could do better. And that is the case for too many fucking films. It just stick to the source material. It's been done. Do it again, because if it ain't broke, don't fucking fix it. Again, it is the biggest slap in the face to have something that people sit there and are fans of and love so dearly, and then produce what we saw in this film.
No, it's a travesty. Is what?
No,
it is.
That's a perfect word. It's absolutely a travesty, and yeah. I just don't get it. Everything from the series that we saw, the way the characters were built, their things that they said. I don't even know. Like, he made all these characters look terrible. Like, if, for instance, if someone saw this film, right, because they see a new film coming out and never saw the source material, even then, it's just like none of it was coherent. None of it made sense. The not just the terrible acting, the terrible lines. There was no consistency. There was nothing. There was nothing given to us. That not only did M. Night show us that he could not do it better, that he could barely do it in the first place, besides everything else that we've discussed, my biggest thing with this is that what we saw in the series, it was heartfelt. The action had action. Everything, it was emotional. You were invested in the scenes, whether they were dialogue or bending or whatever it was. You were invested in the scenes in the series. Everything in this film, there was zero attachment to. Zero. Absolutely none. Because it was so flat. It was so just, here it is, for the sake of it just being there. The perfect example goes back to what you were saying, Jordan, when they're in the Northern Water Tribe, and they are, and the Moon Spirit is being held and gets killed.
Mm-hmm.
Iroh, in that scene, in that scene, is passionate about not killing the spirit. And the dialogue we see in the film is just fall flat, no emotion, bullshit, fucking just nothing.
It actually butchered the lore too, because if you saw, and I said it when it happened because I was so like, what the fuck? So in this movie, again, another really big complaint that a lot of the fans have in a general sense is, and we haven't really touched on it yet, the bending. The bending's really fucking ridiculous, because there's a lot of like almost dance movement, and we don't really get to see a lot of bending. It's just people moving really furiously, and then some shit moves 10 seconds later.
The bending is like, it's like, yeah, it's like manipulation. It's not like they actually have that power.
Exactly. So like that was a big thing, and they fucked up the lore of fire bending, is, you know, you can manipulate fire, you can't create it. But then when Zhao kills the Moon Spirit and Iroh gets pissed, he fucking creates flames through his hands, to which the firebending soldiers respond, oh my goodness, he's firebending without any fire.
Yeah.
If you could do it then, why did... That means it was a conscious choice for M. Night to be like, okay, well, I'm going to make it so that they can manipulate fire, not create it.
Yeah.
But then later on makes it a plot point that you just proved how stupid you are even further, you idiot.
Yeah.
You just proved you could easily have, you know, used the CG and used the stuff in front of you and made everybody be able to create fire, but you didn't for whatever stupid reason.
Yeah. He willingly chose to negate that. Yeah.
Why do you, I know Derek's been saying it over and over, but it's like, why the fuck do you think the thing that we like so much about something is a thing that you feel the need to change and make all your own? Like, that's stupid.
Yeah, no, 100%. And it's, dude, this dude doesn't even know how to put together an action film. Like, the cinematography in this film was fucking awful. It was so like, here's one thing, and here's another thing. These two can't exist together in one scene. Use the example of a Harry Potter film where there's action going on, and it's like 15 different shots in like 2 minutes to display the action that's going on, what the characters are feeling. You get a glimpse of everything. In The Last Airbender, everything's done in like one shots. Like, and then the camera fucking moving around, and you don't get the full sense of the situation, and like talking happens for talking and action happens for action. And it's so split apart and dissected. It's just like, what the fuck? None of this makes sense.
Right. Cause it's like a vague assemblance of a movie. Like, they have characters and there's a story, but it doesn't really quite. It's not put together like an actual film. It's just, here's a bunch of scenes that resemble something that you know.
Yeah.
And the rest of it is all just mindless bullshit.
Yeah. God. It just was such a... I can see now why the fandom behind the Avatar series were so pissed off with this film. And really, ultimately, I think what the big thing we've learned from watching this and other films that do these fucking terrible things is, like you said, John, we really need to fucking stop allowing this to happen. Like, and not only us, but the creators as well. I respect the creators of the Avatar series so much more now, because at first I was like, how would they allow Nickelodeon Studios and M. Night to take The Last Airbender and produce that? Like, how could they not have had a hand in it or whatever? And I'm sure that that's why, when it came to the Netflix live action series, that they wanted to be so much part of it, because they knew what happens when they're not. They knew what the film was. But someone
still told them to go fuck themselves.
Right? Yeah. Which,
and they were like, "All right, well, then we're walking."
Yeah, exactly.
That was more Netflix. Yeah, too. Because when they had left that, they confirmed. This is just for people who don't know it, because we've talked about this ad nauseum. But yeah, so for the live action Avatar that is planned, but it's also recently been taken off the listing for up and coming shows. Yeah. So it may not even happen, which I'm excited for. And a lot of people are too. But Netflix was actually so controlling over the situation. And so, like, you know, they were also very like, oh, we're trying to, in the actual report, they wanted to create, quote, a more mature, I've said this on the show before, the more mature experience with more sex and blood.
Yeah.
Which is like, wow. But, and, you know, the original creators walked away. Right. And as a result, you know, now everybody's very worried that we're now going to, in the year 2021 or whenever it decides to announce to be come out, we're going to get that, but a series. Here's what people are afraid of. They're afraid that we're going to get Avatar, but Riverdale. And I don't know if you guys know anything about Riverdale.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's really fucking bad. And it's about, like, hey, what if Archie Comics was a really dramatic series?
Right.
Who asked anybody to do that? But regardless, it's like, it's just very sad to see.
You know what I would have
like
loved to
happen?
See them do that with, though? I would have loved to see them with, like, Scooby-Doo. I know that it's supposed to be a goofy kid, like, whatever, there's a guy in a costume thing, but like a real horror show with Scooby-Doo and Shaggy and you know what I mean? Like, it'd be like so dumb, but I would probably enjoy it.
I can see that working if it's done right.
It doesn't even sound bad either. No. Yeah, if it's done like a, but they took that shit and created like one of those legitimate like MTV teen dramas.
Yeah.
And that was what everyone and their mother is so fucking afraid of, because Netflix is becoming kind of notorious for that when it comes to some of their younger shows. So with Avatar, when you hear about the stuff that's reported, you know, more sex, more blood, you're kind of thinking like, oh shit, they're trying to make a fucking Riverdale out of a Nickelodeon cartoon.
Yeah.
Riverdale, I can't get my head off Riverdale, number one, because it's very cringy, and it's a good example of how like teen dramas have gone way too far, and a lot of people have complained about it in that kind of way. Mm-hmm. But it's also such a good example of how you could take something that you never would have thought could have been a gritty, dramatic thing, like fucking Archie Comics, and create some sort of like really cringy kind of teen drama situation. And that I really do feel like they're going to have, if Avatar happens the way people are afraid it's going to happen, I'm afraid they're going to have like episodes where, like, you know, this whole episode is based around Aang's trying to learn waterbending, but also like him and Katara had sex and now Sokka's trying to find out what's going on. And oh my goodness, like, that's not what Avatar was ever about. And it's very fearful that that's what they're going to do with it. And Netflix, if any of you are listening, nobody is asking you to do this. Like, I did not, when I watched this show, I understood I was dealing with characters who were ages 12 to 14. I did not look at them. I know I've said this on the show before. I did not look at 12-year-old Aang and think, I want to see him plow Katara in a tent. Like, I don't care about that shit. And you shouldn't either.
Right.
You should not.
Right, right, right. Yeah, it's just going to be a bunch of bullshit, nonsense filler just to grab any audience member possible. And listen, if the series does come out, then it's our job as the consumer, as the viewers, to not watch it to know full well it's going to be trash and say, no, I'm not, no, not going to bother. Because when they lose all that money because they wanted to do what they wanted to do, then maybe that'll teach them a fucking lesson. Because honestly, that's the only way people ever fucking learn a real lesson is when it starts to affect their wallet. So when Netflix takes a loss for being a bunch of assholes, then maybe they won't be assholes in the future. I mean, that's, you know, in a perfect world, I suppose. Maybe I'm being too fucking hopeful with that. But
maybe a bit.
Maybe a bit.
Only because, you know what? You know why I feel like maybe that won't happen in spite of that fact? Because two big things have happened with Netflix that, in my opinion, when I look at popular culture happen and they're still around, is number one, they made that horrible, god-awful fucking Death Note, where they did the same thing. They made Death Note into a fucking teen drama. They did the same thing, and they're still in business. And number two, they lost The Office, and they're still in business. I feel like if those two things can happen and Netflix is still okay, I don't think there's a lot that can take Netflix down, personally. That's just my opinion.
I mean, yeah, I guess. But Death Note is another example of everything we talked about. And unfortunately, we are just as much to blame as the creators and everyone else that made a terrible decision on that one. We were stupid enough to go, live action Death Note should be awesome because they've never whitewashed a Japanese thing in their fucking life.
But again, it's another one I've just never seen before. Look how easy it is for people. I know. John, did you see the Death Note remake Netflix made?
No, I would.
The movie?
No.
You wouldn't.
We watched. well, I would do it for the podcast, but no, we watched.
I watched it.
Oh, you did?
Okay. So I binge watched the series because I never saw the series, and my wife wanted to see it as well. We've both always like heard great things about the series.
Still, so we're just like, is one of the best animes ever.
Listen, I will go ahead and say I loved it. Like we just never got around to see it. We said one day, you know what, fuck it, we want to watch something different. We never saw it. We both were down for it, so we watched it. We loved the series. It was great. I mean, I have qualms with the ending, but you know, it is what it is. But overall, we thoroughly enjoyed every part of it. Then we saw the live action pop up as a suggestion, and me and my wife looked at each other and we went, should we do this to ourselves? Because we know that movie sucks. Not because we ever saw it, but because collectively everybody that's ever seen it, and friends of ours, people online, everyone has said that has been a trash film. And I knew off the bat it was a whitewash piece of garbage. That once you whitewash a film, I'm automatically out. I'm like, nope, don't give a fuck. Don't care. Again, we did Airbender because of the episode prior to this. But we were like, you know what? Let's go ahead and give it a try, because if it's that bad, at least we can sit down together, make fun of the film while we watch it, and it'll be a good time. The same shit we did for us here on the show. The same idea. Let's, you know, it'll be so bad it's going to be fucking funny. It fucking sucked. Do not, and I, no, just do not do it. Do not do it. Don't put yourself through. It was terrible fucking trash. It was awful. It's completely fucking terrible. I don't even know. There was another point I wanted to make, but this fucking thing has just got my brain so fucking mushy right now. I just don't get it. I really just don't understand, man. How the fuck? I don't understand why it keeps happening. I don't understand why we keep letting it happen, why the creators keep happening it. I mean, listen, I do. I do know why. Because money. Because money and ego and all this bullshit. But it's truly frustrating as a fan of anything to see something you love or something that you really invest in emotionally and put your time into watching and liking. And then someone just goes ahead and just like, yeah, here's this flaming pile of dog shit on a plate for you because, you know, as fans, that's what you deserve. I don't get it. Sometimes people do it right, though. Sometimes we do manage to see things done the right way, or we see some type of saving grace. But I don't know, man. It's just, it doesn't make sense. The one thing that I do know that is coming up that I've been seeing good things about, and I think they might do right, is the live-action Cowboy Bebop series. I want to find out more about it, but from what I've seen so far, it looks like they're trying. So I don't know. I don't want to put my hopes up too much, though, because again, it between money and ego and terrible decision making and all everything we've discussed, it might turn out to be complete trash.
Who knows, man?
So
I can't even say myself whether or not like that will actually
be reputable in any way. That's the trap.
Because we keep thinking, we keep giving these fucking things chances because nostalgia, again, also is a big thing.
Well, not only that, sometimes there's a few decisions that are broadcast out there, like casting or, you know, a teaser that shows a really big scene in the series that you're going to see in the live action or whatever it is. They give us these little tidbits just enough for us to chomp onto. And then they fucking hook us. And then we're sitting here like assholes going, what the fuck happened? What the fuck? How did this happen all over again? It just, I don't know, man. It's hard. It's hard to really like be able to trust, you know what I'm saying? That transition, that retelling of something that we've known from the past or that came in a certain way, a certain package from a certain medium, it gets transferred over. It's hard to trust it. And then what the other side of that too, is that we sit here. And maybe it's great. Maybe it turns out to be great. And then we almost feel like we missed out at the beginning stages. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know, man. It's terrible. It's terrible. I really wish it didn't happen. I know a lot of people out there are definitely agreeing with everything that we said about the film and the way that we view it. And it's just a real fucking shame, man. It's tough. Like, we want to be able to enjoy the things we enjoy, and then people go off and fucking produce this fucking garbage. And it's just frustrating. It's upsetting. It's a spit in the face of the fans. And I don't know. I don't know if we're ever going to break out of that cycle. Like we've said, it's a tough one, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens with future projects, stuff that's coming out. I'm really hoping that we see better. As of late, we've seen things that have been done right. So hopefully that becomes more of a trend, and hopefully we, as again, the viewers and the consumer do, or rather are able to vocalize how we feel about something and get it to be done right. I mean, I really think that's an important step. We've seen it happen in the past. You know, I think now because of the way the internet works and everything like that, I think now as fans of certain things, we have a stronger voice. Maybe it'll work for us. Who knows? I don't know. Anything else that you guys want to add? Because this film is really fucking... This film really fucking sucked.
Nah, good.
All right.
You know what? I do want to mention that Aang's tattoos were okay, I guess. That was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Appa started off okay, but then got shitty. Like, real fast.
We got a close look at him, and it was like... Oh.
Yeah, yeah. I think what I said when we watched it was that it looked like they used the same facial modeling for the CGI for both Momo and for him. So
yeah, it was super weird.
It was really fucking weird. I mean, his body looked great. That's so fucking disappointing, man. Like, to see the potential in something that was so terrible, it's just like, come on. Like, he could have... Come on. There's fan videos and fan movies and all these other things, you know what I'm saying, that are way better. Like, why is it that no one past, you know, a certain level out there gives a shit? And it's, I don't know, it's disheartening, man. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to fucking say anymore.
It's all right. Well, yeah, listen, you know, you watch these movies and you win some, you lose some.
Yeah. That's really...
It can't all be low blow, right?
Yeah, it all... Yeah. It all can't be fucking masterpieces.
Yeah. Do you think there's anything that could have fixed this?
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Taking M. Night out of it and putting the original...
I mean, I don't want to open up a whole... another discussion. I just was one curious.
There's a lot, man. There's so much that could have been done differently between choosing, like I said earlier, just because it's X person or Y person doesn't mean they're right for the job. You know what I'm saying? We've seen it multiple times. Like, for instance, throughout like the history of Batman films, we've seen good Batman films. We've seen bad films. True. You know, it just depends on who's taking up that task. With whether they care or not. You know what I'm saying? It depends on whether the creators are involved. It depends on everything.
Sounds like to make it better, what their choice should have been was to not make it. That was
some. You know what? Sometimes that really is. Sometimes that really is the best thing. Yeah. Leave well off alone. Just leave it.
I don't mind it just being an older cartoon. As human, like, I'm okay with it. Like I don't need it to be remade. Like I don't understand. Right. And I feel like none of the fans.
We as humans don't want to say when. No, truly they don't. You know, it's one of those things where it's like we as people just really don't know when to say when either. It's very much like it just goes back to money. It's very much like, you know, why are we remaking everything? Because it's more lucrative to take this thing from 10, 20, 30 years ago that people loved and remake it in a fucking modern style and profit off of that than it is to actually come up with our own ideas and execute shit properly. It's like, if you find an easy way to do something in any job, you're going to do it the easier way than the harder.
Yeah. Now, you want to know who I fucking blame? You know what? I think I figured it out. I know who to fucking blame for all of this.
Who's that?
It's fucking Nintendo's fault. It's fucking Nintendo's fault. They are the kings of the nostalgic fucking cash grab. I blame Nintendo.
That's the most unfair thing ever.
Do you really? Or were you really reaching
out? No, that's a really fucking funny joke. Did you guys really think I was going to sit here and blame Nintendo for the dipshit
not
decisions that fucking Hollywood does? No.
Not particularly, no. I didn't
Jesus
like
Christ.
I feel like perhaps maybe swing and a miss. It's like... Yeah. Tough crowd, huh?
What was a bigger bomb, that joke or M. Night's job with fucking Airbender?
M. Night being born.
Wow.
Anyway, so
there you go. Bam. Microphone drop. Cue the legal. Let's go.
Cue the legal. Yeah, because so he doesn't sue us.
Yeah, right. Fuck him, dude. I don't care. Are you serious? You know what's also interesting is like I'm a little biased too, because I like a couple weeks ago actually, I saw another one of his fucking movies. It's called The Village. And like it was just another pompous.
That's
fucking,
where he lost
have
me.
Have either of you seen it?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah.
You saw it? Yeah. Oh my fucking God, dude. Shut up.
What a
horrible
twist!
Acting. What a twist. Oh my goodness. The park ranger shows up. Oh my goodness.
Talk about what a twist.
Fucking stupid. All right, yeah, let's
let's fucking wrap it. Yeah. Let's end it here because
I enjoyed making fun of him, but we could do it for another 6 hours, but
it runs out. Yeah.
It runs out. Right.
I totally get it. Yeah.
But actually, you know what? Speaking of twists, I think the next time that we dive into the world of film, I kind of wanted to watch the Dragon Ball film.
And fucking John said that he wanted to do it the same night.
Yeah, I was ready to do it.
I've been thinking about it since you mentioned it.
I want to see. Let's do it because we can do a compare and contrast, like what was worse type of thing. You know, like
I like that
as a concept. I do.
Let's do that. All right, cool. Yeah.
All right, let's do that. I'm into it.
All right, cool, awesome. So the next time we touch on
next
film,
movie, we'll watch the Dragon Ball movie.
That's perfect because that, like you said, Jordan, they came out and said this was absolutely a cash grab. You know, it was just a movie for money, and that's why they made it. M. Night came out and said this is art and fucking culture and all this fucking egotistical bullshit. Yeah. I'm a genius. So let's see what was fucking better or worse, the fucking money cash grab or the art.
What was it called? Dragon Ball Evolution.
Dragon Ball Evolution. Yeah.
All right, we'll watch that. It'll be fun.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So that's going to be the plan for the next time we touch on film. To the listeners out there, we appreciate you tuning in and hear us bitch about a movie that was made almost a decade ago.
10 years ago.
And but you know what? It was our first viewing of it, and it took 10 years for us to be like, all right, maybe we'll give it a shot. You know, it is what it is. But listen, like I said earlier, you know, this movie goes beyond just being a bad film. It really is an example of things that we see in Hollywood all the fucking time that all of us are tired of. Whether we'll ever find a solution to that, you know, who fucking knows? But we can only do our best as the viewers and the consumers to make sure that doesn't happen in the future. I don't know. We'll see what happens, you know. as far as upcoming series and movies and projects goes. Like I said, I'm keeping my eye on the Cowboy Bebop series. I hope that that turns out to be good. But who knows? It's such a double-edged sword that God only knows how that's going to go. But yeah, we'll dive into the Dragon Ball film for the sake of comparing and contrasting what was worse. Another whitewashed fucking terrible film. And yeah, stay in the loop, because we're definitely gonna be asking opinions on this and posting about it when we do get closer to us viewing it. So make sure you find us on social media, Instagram at the Party Up Podcast, Twitter at Party Up Tweets, and of course on Facebook by searching Party Up Podcast. Drop us a like, join our group, and be part of the conversation. I am definitely interested in hearing what any of you out there has to say, either about Airbender, if you maybe really enjoyed the film, which you would be a complete psychopath to admit, and if you've seen Dragon Ball Evolutions, maybe give us a little insight into what we might be getting into. Whatever you got, hit us up on the social medias. It'd be great to hear from you. And I think that's going to be it for us on the show this week. I think we've exhausted any conversation left with this fucking film. Piece of garbage. Fuck M. Night and his fucking everything about him. Jordan, how can people find you on the social media and view actual art and work that actually has passion and purpose behind it?
If you'd like to see some true genius, you can find me. I'm just kidding now. But you can look me up on YouTube, SE7ENTV. I'm one of the first results that pops up there on 7TV. You can find me on Instagram at Jordan7. That's spelled exactly the same way, SE7EN.
Awesome. And as far as you go, John, how can people follow you and everything that you're doing as far as interwebs and all that fancy stuff?
Well, you can swing by gamingaccessweekly.com for your favorite video game news, reviews, and editorials. And of course, you can go to fablebeardco.com, use coupon code SB2L5 for your entire cart. And you can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/SB2L. And Twitter and Instagram, somebeardy2love. That's the number 2, not spelled out.
Awesome. All right, guys. We're going to call it a day. Again, to the listeners, thank you so much for tuning in and allowing us to vent about such a terrible, terrible film and the fucking awful practices of Hollywood. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And we always appreciate you guys taking the time to welcome us into your lives with this beautiful show we do. I don't even know what I'm fucking saying anymore.
He's so drained.
Fucking drained.
Exhausted.
Yeah. I'm exhausted. I know. And I really gotta pee. So with that being said, I've of course been your host, Derek McMosh. So for John, for Jordan, thank you guys. We will catch you guys next time on a brand new episode of the Party Up Podcast. Take care, everybody.
Okay, bye.
Uncle Hero!
What an asshole.